Father, we love you and praise you and thank you today. Thank you for this time in the Word. Thank you for the opportunity that we have of sharing the Word today. Thank you for enlightening our understanding and bringing forth revelation knowledge. What an awesome day, Lord. What an awesome time we live in. And we're so thankful, Father, that you're taking us step by step, moment by moment, decision by decision. We give you praise for it, Father. Open the eyes of our understanding today. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Welcome to a study in the Word. We're currently in a series entitled An In-Depth Study on Love. And this is message number 26 in the series. The title of today's message is Developing Our Love Walk. And I'm going to go ahead and call this part one because I know I can't get through this today. And there might even be a part three. Even if it's titled differently, there will still be a part two and I'm pretty sure a part three. The love walk does not just happen. We've been talking about the love walk for quite some time. We've been going through an in-depth study on love, however many months that's been for 26 messages. But there will probably be at least 35, maybe more. Depends on what the Lord reveals as I make this study and develop these notes. But throughout this series, if anything you've probably noticed in our study is the fact that the love walk does not just happen. And we've studied about how important that it is in our lives. We must choose to walk in love.
Amen.
On an ongoing, moment-by-moment basis through a series of decisions. That's how the love walk is developed, through a series of decisions. You know, it doesn't take much effort to walk with everybody else, to make decisions like everybody else makes, to be emotion-driven and to be driven by our carnal nature. It doesn't take any effort hardly at all on that. We might have to put out a little effort to be kind or to do a loving thing, but even when we do that, if we're basing our love walk on our everyday life and on the just a kind of a happenstance thing, it's a carnal love. It's not the love of God flowing through us, even though we may think it is. Because it's carnally based. We're just carnal people. We're just natural. Actually, it's abnormal for the born-again Christian. But for everybody that's not born again in the everyday life, it's just a normal happenstance-driven decisions that we make. That is a carnal love. It doesn't take much for us to do those things. It doesn't take much to get mad. It doesn't take much to be happy sometimes. It doesn't take much to be depressed. It doesn't take much to be up. You know, it's just kind of based on whatever's going on around me and however somebody else treats me. That's a carnal kind of love, and it doesn't take much effort. But to do the love walk, to walk the love walk, the agape love of God, to make your steps step by step walking with God, that takes some effort on your part.
Amen.
That takes knowledge of the Word. That takes being born again, for one thing. You can't do it without that. And even when you're born again, you still have to make decisions. You've got to make decisions on a moment-by-moment basis. You can't just see it in the Word and say, well, we got to walk the love walk. We got to love, so I'm loving. And then walk on like we always did before. We're not going to make it. We're simply not going to be able to do that. In order to walk in love, we have to be Word-based in our life. We have to receive the Word. We have to be constant in our Word life, constant in our faith life, constant in our prayer life, on a moment-by-moment, now-moment basis. And just like anything else, when you're walking somewhere, it's one step at a time. Well, that's the way the love walk is. Mm-hmm. You can walk the love walk in this moment and be out of the love walk the next. That's why it takes diligence. It takes decisions. It takes something in our mind and heart that will identify what the love walk is and is not in our life. We have to have something to base our choices on. You know, you can't make a choice unless you know there's something to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can have a whole bunch of things out there to choose from, but if you don't know they're there, you can't choose them. So that's why it's important for us to know what the Word of God says and why it says it. That's the purpose of this in-depth study on love. It's not just to take a subject and run with it. It's so that we can study and know the heart of God. I'm funny about things. I like to know why things work. I like to know why it's that way. How come I have to do this? What's the benefits of doing this? You know, where's this going to lead me? Well, the love walk leads you into your eternity, for one thing. The love walk leads you into the heart of the Father. The love walk leads you into peace and joy and rest and comfort in your life. Comfort that is beyond any natural comfort. You can be uncomfortable in the natural and be comfortable in the spiritual. It's not based on circumstances. Love is not based on circumstances. It's based on the person God. It's based on His heart and His way. So the love walk does not just happen. We must choose to walk the love walk on an ongoing, daily, moment by moment, or now moment basis through a series of choices. And I don't care how close to God you are, you're still going to have to do the moment by moment choice. The love walk must be developed. It is progressive. We must exercise choice in our faith to develop our love walk. We must be diligent. It does not just happen. It's a process.
Amen.
Everything in life is a process, whether we think it's a process or not. It is a process. There's no such thing as a suddenly. You don't suddenly choose to walk the love walk and now I'm okay the rest of my life. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to choose. And as I said, it's easy to choose the world's way. But even that you have to choose. When a circumstance comes your way, you're going to have to choose to accept it, to get mad at it, to let your emotions rise and strike back, or to do the loving thing based on God's word. You always succeed and always overcome, no matter what it is, when you base it on your love walk. It may not appear that you're succeeding or overcoming, but you are. You're overcoming. For one reason, it's because the Father Himself is involved in it now. The Holy Spirit is involved in this thing now. The Holy Spirit is teaching you how to choose here. He's empowering and acting and bringing forth the Word of God for you. But He's not only taking care of you, if as I said a couple weeks ago, when you're in a moment of intense fellowship, there is a chain being formed. Links are being put together. You are, whether you're at opposite opinions or not, you're agreeing in anger. Your anger is an agreement. So you're forging a bond. You're forging a bondage for yourself and for the other person. But when you do the love walk, Satan can't forge that chain.
Amen.
He can invite you to do it, but you have to choose it. And if the other guy's choosing to forge that chain and you're not, there's no coming together.
That's right.
There's no agreement there. You are not agreeing with the anger that's there. You're not agreeing with your carnal nature. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to take care of those chains of bondage that the enemy's trying to form.
Amen.
So you are always, always, always an overcomer.
Amen.
When you walk the love walk. When you make the loving choice based on God's word. If you don't do that, you will wind up with a chain of bondage formed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't blame God. You can't blame the other person. You formed that chain. You took the elements that the enemy gave you and you put those links together. And now by your choice, you can break them. But it's easier not to form it to begin with.
Amen.
Than it is to break it after it's formed. So take heed to that. The love walk must be developed. Everything, even that anger, develops. When you start forming that chain of bondage, that you're putting those links together, and whether you think you're doing it or not, you are. When you start striking back, Even if you don't strike back in the person's face, but you walk off carrying it, you're still forming that bondage chain. Whenever you do that, if you are not careful, you cannot break that.
Yeah.
It'll hinder your prayer life. It'll hinder your faith. It'll keep you from hearing God. Other things will start being affected by that. And you'll wonder what happened. Why is your prayer life not working? Why is all this trouble around me all the time? Well, for one thing, the trouble was there before.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it's enhanced now because the Holy Spirit's not out there working through you to handle that. You're not able to hear Him in the way you would have otherwise. This is so vital. The enemy likes you to develop your own problem.
Yeah.
He gives you the opportunity. And when that anger comes, for one thing, that other person was probably developing anger for a while. It didn't just happen. Maybe the circumstance happened, but he was mad at somebody or something to begin with, even if it wasn't you. He had a problem somewhere. It might have been way back, but he had a problem somewhere that's been developing all this time, and now you step into that problem and it hits you. You choose how to respond to that. But that problem didn't just happen. That circumstance didn't just take place. It developed. Everything, no matter what it is a process. It's a process. There's elements and ingredients going in to develop it. You may not know it. You may not understand the process is there or even recognize it, but it's developing. It usually starts with a small thing, a little thing that meant nothing in the beginning. It might have meant something to you guys, but at the moment it might have meant something. It might have caused a stirring or something, or a little agitation, but you didn't drop it. So now the process has started. And it keeps growing, and it keeps growing, and it keeps growing. And before long, you don't even know where the starting place was. But you all of a sudden, you got these feelings, and you're functioning that way. Mm-hmm. It's not the devil's fault. I mean, originally it is, because he developed sin and put it out here. But all he does is give you the opportunity. You took a hold of it and ran with it. But you don't have to. See, we don't have to go his way. We don't have to, especially if we're born again. We are love creatures. It's easier for us to develop love than it is for the person that's not born again, because we're born of love. So if we are making a decision to walk this love walk and not be in agreement with that over there, if we make that choice in our now moment, now the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. And he starts bringing revelation knowledge. He starts bringing opportunities. The angels grab that word and run out there and start working.
Amen.
Not only in your life, but in that other person's life. You can be the very tool that God uses to break that off that person. Beyond what you're seeing in that moment, you can break that thing off of what it's linked to in the past. And that's so awesome. But see, we don't know that. That's not taught. We think because this happened, if nobody does anything about it, it's going to continue. It may or may not. But when you walk the love walk, you are doing something about it. You're taking it out of the devil's hands. You're breaking that chain that he's trying to form. And that, don't you think that angry moment will stay just between the two of you? It won't. Whatever caused that to develop, it's been affecting people around that person all these years. That's the way it is. Love walk does the same thing. Just because I'm in this now moment and there's tension between the two of us, don't think it stays there. That anger will affect everyone in both of your lives that you touch. It'll go far beyond that little bitty thing there that you thought I need to correct for that guy or whatever, or you took an offense at. It will go beyond that. And you won't know that you're a party to spreading that thing in other people's lives. But you are. Because you have the power to break it.
Amen.
That person may not, but you do. You are a born-again child of the living God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Love Himself abides in you. But you didn't choose the loving way. You're responsible for that. We don't like to hear that. Well, that other guy did that. He did something. But so did you. You did not respond correctly. So if you don't want that to happen and you responded in your carnal nature, man, take care of it. Repent of it. Go to the Father and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I blew it right there. I did not respond correctly. Holy Spirit, move in me and teach me how to handle this right now. And Father, I receive your forgiveness. And you said in your word in 1 John 1:9, that if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That chain just got broke. If you meant that, that chain that you helped form, broken. Now that other person has to make some decisions too. If he doesn't know it, it's going to keep growing and affect other people in his life. But it's not, you're not going to be applying your faith to it. The devil can't tap into you and add to that because you broke it. And now you are in a perfect place to pray for that person. You're in a perfect place to deal with that or with that person, to spoil the enemy's construction that he's building in that person's life. That person still has to make decisions of his own. But you can help tear that devil's stronghold down where that person can make that decision.
Amen.
That's the power of the love walk. But it's a moment by moment choice. And never think that that anger is not building into something else. It is. But the love walk does the same thing. It develops. Anger develops. Sin develops. Depression develops. All those things develop. Love develops. Peace develops. The fruit of the Spirit develops. And that's what we're going to see in this scripture here. And we're going to go to 2 Peter, verse 1. And like I said, the subject today is developing our love walk in part 1. So we're going to look at steps to developing today. And probably won't get much further than that. And then over the next time, we're going to look at the hindrances to the love walk. Because like I said, both develop. If we want to perfect our love walk, it's moment by moment, decision by decision to develop it. The others develop the same way. Moment by moment, decision by decision, brick by brick. They both develop the same way. So if I know that, if I know this is what the enemy's doing, if I know whether he's involved or not, I'm still building this thing. I want to tear down that stronghold, and I'm going to build this one with love. Moment by moment, decision by decision. And we'll see in this scripture how these things develop. Now, Peter here is going backwards. He's building a building to love. Paul, in the fruit of the Spirit, goes from love and then breaks it down. Opposite. But you can lay one over the top of the other. Another interesting factor, if you study it, I'm a little bit off here, but it's interesting to know that when you study the armor of God, you'll see the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There's several. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It's also part of the armor that you choose. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also your shield. So you can go down through the fruit of the Spirit and you can see how they affect our armor. But the one that's top there is love. All of the fruit of the Spirit flow from love. That's why Paul has it first. Because everything else flows from there. Peter is showing us, and that's the spiritual angle of it. Peter is looking at more of a natural angle and telling you what to do in your choices to build to that love.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's backwards. But it's the same thing. We're both talking about the same thing. And it's good for you if you take those scriptures and lay them side by side and look at them and compare them, because you'll see one going down, one going up. One's building and one's defining. And they're one's talking about choices, one's talking about the spiritual angle of it and how it functions. So it's an interesting study. And then that, when you do that, pull out Ephesians chapter 6:10 and following on the armor and compare them. Because they all work, they're all the same. Okay, so 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And this is almost always going to be the Amplified Classic. For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him. Now I'm going to stop there and look at that, because there's a lot in here, and we're going to take this apart as we go. That's why I know I can't get very far on this. His divine power has. When is has?
Past tense.
Past tense. So is it already present then?
Mm-hmm.
It's already present. So for His divine power, what's His divine power? Love. He is love, so that is His power. So for His divine power has bestowed. When I bestow something on somebody, what have I done? I've given it to them. That's what a inheritance is. I'm bestowing my earthly belongings to someone else. I'm bequeathing them. It's a will here. Or in the natural, I may have something very precious that I love or somebody else really likes. So I bestow it on them.
Mm-hmm.
I take this precious thing that might not mean anything to anybody but them. But I'm bestowing this on them because it's a precious treasure to them. It has a value to them. So I'm bestowing it. I'm releasing my ownership of it and giving it to you in fullness. I'm bestowing. You don't have to earn it. That's what it's saying. You don't have to dig and sweat and labor for it. I'm bestowing it on you. That's what he's talking about here. So His divine power or love has bestowed, past tense, upon us. The next word there is all. All things. How many is that? It's all. He's not holding back anything. See, so God has bestowed upon us all things, what? That are requisite and suited to life and godliness. So I don't have to earn this. He's bestowed everything to me that's related to life and godliness. That is so awesome. If I can get a hold of that, that love has done this. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to dig for it. I don't have to beg and crawl till my knees are bloody. He's bestowed it upon me. It's available. It's not that the enemy can't keep it from me. God Himself bestowed it. Now, I can keep myself away from it. But that's not God's fault. He's bestowed it, even if I don't know it, even if I never have knowledge of it, even if I don't want it, even if I don't know how to get there and do it, He'll even supply the knowledge to do it if I'll go where the knowledge is. He's bestowed it. Everyone that has ever lived or ever will live, everything they need for life and godliness has already been made available.
Yes.
That is so awesome. And that's a hallelujah place.
Amen.
That is a hallelujah place. We need to know these things. So if it's already been bestowed, then why don't I have it? Because it says, through the full personal knowledge of Him. So how do you get it? Through knowledge of Him.
Yeah.
Get in the Word, for crying out loud. This Bible is full of the knowledge of Him.
Amen.
That's what it's about. And every bit of that knowledge of Him is love. Because He is love. That's who He is. So if I'm going to know Him, if I'm going to have knowledge of Him, I have to go to the love. I have to study love. Because that's who He is.
Amen.
But then that old scripture that I keep bringing up, that knocks your hat in the crick, comes along, and the same 1 John chapter 4, in the same chapter, just basically a verse down, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. I think it's verse 18. As he is, so are we. God has made us love. He has made us that way. It's not his fault if we're not walking it.
That's right.
We have to develop it. We have to choose it. The more knowledge I seek after, the more I aim at, the more it develops. The more it develops, the more I have to do it, exercise it, which is, we're going to see that word here all the way through here. Okay, so his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence and virtue. So he called us. Big deal, they call me. Like some mom calling this kid and the kid don't come. We've all been called to it, but are we responding? Well, I got born again, but did you respond to the love? You responded to the salvation message, but there's so much more than just getting saved. There's a whole new life now here that we have to grow up into and unlock.
Amen.
And the number one key is love. And that's my choice. The keys are in the Word of God. It's in love and it's in faith. The Word and faith all work by love. That's where it's at. And if I'm not choosing to do that, to exercise my love walk, then I'm going to fail. And all the time, it's all been bestowed upon me. I will think God kills everybody and sends people to hell, and he doesn't. You send yourself.
That's all right. Nobody goes.
He's giving you the tools to get out of there, and you're not using them. He's giving you the fruit of the Spirit, and you're not exercising them. Well, I just haven't got no patience at all with that guy. That's your fault, not his.
Amen.
Because patience is a fruit. And if you're born again, patience is there. You're just not doing anything about it.
Right.
We have to know that somebody somewhere has got to get down to the where the rubber meets the road and start telling us these truths.
Yes.
I can't go on and blame the devil. I can't go on blaming the world, my friends, my family, my circumstances, where I was born, my color. I can't blame any of that. A political party, I can't blame any of that. Where I live, I can't blame that. I make my choices. And God's holding me responsible for my love walk.
Amen.
And you too. I can change anything in my life, in my now moment. Anything based on love I can change.
Amen.
But I can't do it in any other moment. Okay, so this is important to us. So this is ongoing, it's building, and it's through the personal knowledge of him. But I can't know God. He says, no man knows God. That's not what it's talking about. That's why he gave us this manual. No man in and of himself knows him. But thank God, God put himself in us so that we can know him.
Amen.
That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, one of his main jobs is to bring forth revelation. And to reveal the heart of the Father. That's one of his main purposes for living in us. Is to reveal to us. Not to the world. To us. And we take it to the world.
Amen.
Okay, so. Now verse 4. By means of these. He has bestowed. Again we see that has past tense. By means of these he has bestowed on us. His precious and exceeding great promises. So why did he go ahead and give us all these precious promises? Where are the promises found? Well, I don't know what God promised. Open your Bible. One guy said there's something like 7,000 in there. I haven't counted. But there's a lot of promises in there. And they're given to us. And they're ours. If I don't know them, I can't choose them. Okay, you can't choose what you don't know is available. But that's not God's fault again. How many Bibles are there in this world? I don't know. I have no way of knowing. But even if there wasn't any Bibles at all, if there's none existed, the Word's still there. It doesn't change.
Amen.
The Word's eternal. It cannot go away. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us as we go through our life. By means of these, He has bestowed upon us, so I can't say they're not there. He's already given them. Has bestowed upon us His precious and exceeding and great promises, so that through them, those promises, or His Word, through them you may escape by flight from moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed. So why is there so much sin? Is there because of lust, covetousness, and greed, which are sin? And by the Word of God and the promises is how we escape. Why did He use the word escape? Because those things held us in bondage. We're in jail to those things. Our mind's in bondage, so we need to escape. If I'm dealing with any of those things, if I'm dealing with anger, fear, worry, depression, all of those things, I can escape that.
Yes.
I do it by His Word, by faith in His Word, declaring the Word, and making a choice to walk that Word. The major master key is love. That's the master key that opens every single door. Fear leaves, depression leaves, anger leaves. All of these things leave when you choose to walk in love. They can't abide in where love is. But you have to maintain it. You have to make the choice to do it. So that's your job. Like Andy Griffith's show, I love the imagery. And I don't watch the show anymore, but the one thing that stuck out to me, I see spiritual things in TV shows and movies. A lot of things that I've learned spiritually, I've learned through seeing something happen. And one of those things is Otis. He's an old drunk. He knows he's a drunk. He's doing all he knows to do. So he'll get drunk, and they're in there showing everything, and different scenes are going on, and in comes Otis into the jailhouse. He walks over, gets the key off the peg, unlocks the cell, puts himself in the cell, shuts it, locks the jail cell, and hangs the key on the peg, which is right next to the cell. He can reach out the cell and get the keys. Mm-hmm. What's that? That spoke to me so much in my spiritual life. How many of us are standing inside that jail of life? The prison of anger, the prison of fear. Now, he was dealing with it with alcoholism, but no matter what it is, no matter what kind of prison it is, the key's hanging out there.
Amen.
It's right there. We can break out of anything, single thing that has held us in prison, no matter what it is. We've got the key. He's given it to us. It's right on the peg. Just reach out there and take a hold of it and open the cell door.
Amen.
When Otis got cleaned up, get his mind back, he did that. He'd reach out there and take that key and unlock his own cell door and walk out the door. Andy Griffin and his Barney never did put him in jail. He put himself there.
That's right.
And that speaks to me so much. How many cells have we locked ourselves in that we didn't need to be in there?
Amen.
Because of our actions and because of our lack of knowledge and because of our carnal nature, because we don't have to do that. No matter what it is, whether it's selfishness, anger, fear, worry, depression, all of these things, anything that's sin-related or devil-related or world-related, we can walk out of. I may not know how, but it's in the Word. But every single key, no matter what it is, no matter what the bondage is, love gets you out of there.
Amen.
It will set you free. And the truth that sets you free is based on love. Okay. So that through them, those promises, you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become... I'm not just getting out of here. I'm not just escaping this jail cell. I'm becoming something.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? See, you never do anything that God asks you to do that there's not a reward based on it. There's something He's developing. Everything you do towards the love walk develops something.
Yes.
It always does. And become sharers. So if I'm going to become a sharer, I have to get out of that jail. And He's given me the key. That's so awesome. And become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. What is the divine nature?
Love.
Love. That's the divine nature because that's who He is. So I can become a sharer or a partaker in that. He's made it available. Verse 5. For this very reason. Now we're going to see what we do. What's our responsibility here? For this very reason, adding your diligence. Oh, diligence. Or being constantly constant. Being the same. Being unchangeable. Well, I failed yesterday. I guess I'm done. No, you're not. Get up. Repent and start walking again. You're not done. Adding your diligence to the divine promises. So I have to, even though the promises are there, I've got to add my diligence to them. That means I got to do them and continue to do them. Adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence. See how every one of these develops something else. If I'm diligent on this, it develops something else. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not diligent on this, the other thing doesn't develop. It can't develop without the other thing. So all of these are required to get to the love. So they're all love related. That's what Peter's saying. He's building a building. He's building a spiritual house. And Mother uses it in a diagram, and I don't like diagrams, but yeah. She draws this all out. And it makes sense. If you see it, you can maybe make more sense to you. But if in your mind, draw little bricks and things, and all of those are adding to something. You're building a building. And you notice when you build a building, they don't go square with it. You never see a bricklayer lay them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They don't do that. A bricklayer will lay a brick here, and then another brick, and then another brick, and it looks like it's staggered. Mm-hmm. That strengthens the building, and when one brick cracks, it'll stop right there. That's why when you're building a fireplace or a brick flue for wood heat, you never build them square. You always stagger your bricks. And you use brick, not block, because a block will crack and continue to crack. A brick will crack just through the brick and normally stop, or it'll have to go through the mortar to get to the next one. So it's like a stopgap. That's why they stagger them. It makes the building and the wall stronger when you stagger them like that. And that's what you're doing here. You're building all of these simultaneously in your life. You're not just developing virtue and stop there and then develop the next one. As you develop your virtue, the next one develops. And then when that one develops, it's developing something else. And before long, they're all working together. Mm-hmm. They're drawing on one another. All of these draw strength from the other one. Those bricks, when they're staggered, draw strength from each other. If they're there by themselves in a straight row, they cannot draw strength from one another. But if they're staggered, they can draw strength from one another and be stable. Okay, so adding to your faith virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. It takes the knowledge to develop the self-control. If you don't have knowledge, you can't develop self-control. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Word. Knowledge of love. Then you can develop your self-control, which is what? Patience. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, and endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, piety. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. Notice how he separated brotherly affection from love. Mm-hmm. Two different kinds of love. And we talked about that several messages ago, the difference between the three kinds of love. Brotherly affection is a worldly, carnal love. It can be excellent, but it's not the fullness of love. It's brotherly affection. There's affection developing between two people. It's a carnal, earthly, worldly, brotherly affection that I'm choosing to do. That, developing that, develops agape in our life, or develops Christian love. Mm-hmm. That's what Christian love is agape love. We talked about that several messages ago, and we're going to see it continually coming in. So, in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. All of these things are required to get to the love, to the agape love. Now, in verse 8, look at this. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they, those qualities that we're developing, that we've just mentioned, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So if I am going to develop the knowledge of Him, I've got to work on these. I've got to work on these. That's my job. If I don't work on these areas of my life, I'm not going to develop knowledge of Him. You see, God's made it available, but I have to make the choices. This is full time. It's not something I can do 10 minutes and then walk down the road the way I want to and then start over again. It's not going to develop. I have to be, as it said in the beginning of this, I have to be diligent. I have to want this. I have to work on it. And it's actually, the word work there, it enhances that I got to do it myself. I'm making the decisions. God gives me the power and the strength and the ability and strengthens me and reinforces my ability and my want to. It's actually His strength I'm walking in, but I'm making the decisions. The word work there, if you don't watch yourself, it becomes something that I have to white knuckle through. And actually, the more that you make the decision to do this, the easier it becomes. Because it becomes like what they call a second nature, or it's just something that I do. I am going to walk the love walk. It becomes hard not to then. I've done this so long, and I've worked on these so long in developing it, and I've watched the presence and the power and the anointing and the joy of God come into my life, and I've watched things happen in other people because I'm doing this. So it becomes hard for me not to do it. But what happens in that process is I become more aware of the things that hurt, the things that hinder. I may be, to everybody else that's not doing this, or people that are just on and off, I may become something of a radical. That guy just don't know how. He doesn't know how the world works, and I don't want to. I know how it works. That's why I'm not doing that. You know, if you want rest and peace in your life, come on, I'll help you. That's our attitude. But we become more sensitive to the way people speak. We become sensitive to the things that happen around us. We become sensitive to things that everybody else just kind of accepts as normal. And we shouldn't accept them as normal. Now, love does not go out there and start chopping heads down. You're going to walk in love or else. There, I loved you. Get up. That's not love. No. A lot of things you just to the everybody else, you're ignoring it. But no, you're listening to the Holy Spirit to tell you how to respond. How do I say this in a way that will lift this person up? Or do I say anything? Or do I just pray? You're not leaving it go. You're not overlooking it. You are responding, but you're responding based on the Spirit of God, not on the circumstance. So other people won't like to be around you because all you talk about is the love of God. There really isn't anything else, and you better start listening and join me. Otherwise, you'll find out why I talk about it. But that's not what you tell people. You invite them in. And a lot of times they see something in your life that they've been running from all of their life. They know you're right, but they don't want any of that because they're too tied up in this bondage they're in and don't know they are. And you can set them free. You just stay your same. You be constant and let them see your consistency. And they'll see what happens around you. And when they're in trouble, who are they going to go to? Mm-hmm. Somebody that's up and down or somebody that's consistently constant? I'm going to love you anyways. I'd rather go there. I'm going to try to finish this because I got to go to the next one next week. Now, I am out of time. So I'm going to just read these, hopefully. Verse 8 again. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they, those qualities, will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins.
That's the first thing you'll get. All your old sins will come back.
Exactly right. The first thing that happens when you do not walk this, when you do not make a choice to walk in love and to grow in the Word of God, when you choose not to, you're going to go right back where you were. Born again, yes, but you can give your salvation away.
Yeah.
You can reject it. You'll be cold. You'll be mad when everybody's mad, glad when they're glad, up when they're up and down when they're down. A roller coaster Christian. Brother Hagin calls him a yo-yo Christian. Mm-hmm. That's the way you are. That's not what we're meant to be. We're supposed to be consistently constant. So if you don't do these things, you become short-sighted.
Amen.
You only see what's in front of you. And it's always bad. You can't see beyond your own.
You lose your vision.
Yeah. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him and has become oblivious to the fact that he was once cleansed of his old sins. Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall.
Amen.
If you walk this love walk, you'll never fall or stumble. You'll make mistakes, but you can get right back up. Thus, there will be richly and abundantly provided for you entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because we're one heart with him.
Amen.
It has yet to be seen, other than Jesus, what can be done through someone that's 100% committed to God 24/7.
Amen.
And he did it. Yeah, but look who he was. He was a man doing it. That's the whole point of it. He walked it as a man. Father, we thank you for this time in your word today. Oh, teach us, Lord. Show us how to develop this love walk that you have given us at such a high price. Such a high price was paid so that we can walk this. Lord, teach us your church. Open the eyes of our understanding. Cause us individually and corporately to live this in this dark time. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.